We're staying in Carrigaline for our next story because there is Minister for State at the Office of Public Works, Patrick O'Donovan. He's there to announce Carrigaline being recognised as a Gaelic service town. €560,000 of a fund approved for the town. Minister, good morning to you.
Jerry, and Martin, to your listeners.
What's this going to mean for Carrigaline?
So, under the Gaelic Act in 2012, provision was made for plans to be put in place through local authorities, First the Gaelic, the Department of the Gaelic, and others, to allow towns that really service the Gaelic communities to be given assistance by the government to encourage the use of the language, both in terms of daily use, in terms of signage, in terms of practical suggestions that can be put in place. So there has been a number of towns already in place. They include Letterkenny, Dingle, Galway, Dunloe and Tralee and Castlebar. So Carrigaline for the South Kerry Gaeltacht is an obvious candidate given its population, but as well as that, its hinterland and the manner in which it services the Gaeltacht community in South Kerry. So really this morning is the formalisation of that with the organisations that have supported Forest na Gaeilge, Kerry County Council and my own department, the Department of the Gaeltacht. And really it's about advancing the presentation of the language in day-to-day life so that people can see it and use it and not be afraid of it. And actually I was in Dingle last weekend on a family occasion, and an eagle-eyed woman from Ballinartarig spotted me and drew the language out of me. And you know, that's very important because for an awful lot of people, myself included, who would have gone through the entire primary school system and feel that, you know, after 14, 15 years of learning it, compared maybe to 5 years of French, that our standard is such that we are almost afraid to use it. It's very important for the native Gaeltacht people to hear the language being used and to encourage people who have a bit of it to draw it out of them. And the Service Town Initiative is really a key in that.
This fund is $80,000 per year for 7 years to be available, which will enable people to kind of, you know, obviously employ a language planning officer and help bring the plan to fruition. Yeah.
That's right. And you see tangible benefits. Like, we're very fortunate in Carrigaline with the schools that are in place. I heard of listening to the programme on the way down. I'm actually pulled up in Kells at the moment, looking across at the Dingle Peninsula. Jerry, you're missing out on a fabulous view where I am at the moment.
Very nice.
But, you know, I was listening earlier on to the work that the school is doing in the face of having, you know, so many children from non-Gaeltacht, non-English-speaking communities that are coming in and embracing and immersing in the Irish language as well, which is fabulous, because when you have a child from Kharkiv or Kyiv in a Kerry Gaeltacht and they have, you know, a great blast in the language, that's a fabulous thing, and it shows that the potential future for our own native language to be encouraged through the Gaeltacht planning and through the Service Town Initiative is something that will be only positive.
Mm, it certainly will. Listen, switching away the focus from why you're there, you're coming down from Dublin. It's been a bruising week for your party, for your government, hasn't it? Housing dominating the agenda. Are you running out of time to fix this problem?
No, I wouldn't say that. Look, I mean, I heard someone on the radio the other day equating Ireland to, you know, a person almost with growing pains, that our country essentially has for the last number of years, probably for a generation, been a country that was really had the infrastructure for 4 million odd. And I was just listening to an earlier contribution there by Michael O'Regan. The population of the country now, similar to Finland, has grown enormously over the last number of years, and that's a positive thing. But we obviously have to ramp up the investment that's required.
Does that show we failed to prepare? This and successive previous governments failed to prepare for those numbers?
No, what it shows is that we as a government succeeded in taking a bankrupted basket case economy, turning it around and giving people hope and optimism for places like Carrigaline and Dingle and everywhere else, that you can get a job, that you can rear a family, that you can stay at home in Ireland, and that you don't have to be in Perth or Melbourne. And I know that there might be a temptation in some quarters to portray a booming economy as a negative thing, but it can only be a positive thing, because without a growing economy, governments don't have money to build anything, including houses. And last year we built the largest number of houses in the state since 1975. So we are making progress, and we're not immune from this. And I think that some politicians are creating this kind of impression I mean, I heard the Labour Party the other day, it's promising a million houses. I mean, it was a desperate attempt to be relevant. But, like, you have some people that are suggesting that they have something of a monopoly and concern around this. Like, I deal with probably one of the busiest, certainly one of the biggest rural constituencies in the country. And I know at first hand, and I know that there's people in West Limerick that listen to your programme every day of the week, the impact that the cost of living crisis has had, but as well as that, the shortage of accommodation. And the only way to do that is to ramp up the investment that's been given through things like Croí Cónaithe, through first-time buyers initiatives, all of which have been opposed by the opposition, by the way.
Yes.
And yet they're now coming out saying that they're going to build a million houses. Like, I'd love to know how they're going to build a million houses and oppose everything that the government is doing.
Yeah, but that brings me back to my point that supply, notwithstanding what you've built, supply is the problem. And despite successive years of promises, you're failing to ramp it up to anything like the size that's needed to tackle the problem.
If you have a political party like Sinn Féin, who are making a virtue out of objecting to houses, 12,000 in Dublin alone, and Labour not too far behind them, like, you can't be in the bog in the meadow at the same day. They're coming on saying that they're going to be building a million houses, but yet some of their lead protagonists are amongst the biggest objectors to housing.
They're saying
in this country.
Wrong houses in the wrong place that won't solve problems.
Yeah, well, do you know something? Like that kind of an attitude. You can have any colour you want as long as it's black. The kind of Henry Ford attitude. Unfortunately, when you need a supply, you can't have NIMBYism. And unfortunately, those two political parties are infested with NIMBYism. They want their cake and eat it into some respect. And then they come on and they criticise us. They criticise all the plans that are put in place. And they come out in with some, you know... I'd love to know where they think that a country at the moment that is saturated in terms... And I'm after passing a group of lads there a while ago, and I just remarked to myself, you know, the weather that they're out in Milltown up on the roof. Like, where are all the workers that Sinn Féin and Labour are suggesting can produce a million houses overnight? They don't exist.
Well, we need more. And it's the job of the government to create the conditions for those workers to be here, isn't it?
And that's why Simon Harris, as Minister for Further and Higher Education, and I know, for instance, like the Pretty Poly Plant in Killarney, and there's other initiatives in Tralee, are encouraging people back into apprenticeships, a real tangible thing that will make a difference to housing, rather than, you know, top of the hat, pull them out of the bag promises, on the basis as well that we're going to increase stamp duty, and we're going to increase tax, and we're going to increase the sale of
that's the opposition parties. Let me ask you this about the survival of your government. Your Taoiseach, your party leader, made the point to your parliamentary party during the week that this coalition has been built to serve the full term, built to survive. In order to do that, as we saw this week, you're starting to have to do deals with independents, isn't that right?
No, it's not, because, I mean, some of the people that are...
Did the regional independent group not get what they wanted in order to vote with you?
But sure, what the regional independent group proposed had been proposed, you know, at the Fine Gael parliamentary party. So it was just practical measures that people like Brendan Griffin and others and myself would have been proposing. So it was nothing really new there.
You're not beholden to independence so to survive?
No, we're not.
If times get tough in the future.
There's two TDs that are outside their whips at the moment, Joe McHugh and Mac McSherry, and whenever they will be restored their whip. I mean, they voted for the government. Like, the government won some of the votes during the week by a margin of nearly 20. And bear in mind now we have Helen McEntee, who's on maternity leave, and Joe Carey from Clare, who's out at the moment. So, like, I mean, Michael O'Regan is right. When a government wins a vote by nearly 20, and there are other TDs that weren't there, that could be there, I mean, to be suggesting that we're going to have a general election anytime soon, the people that are listening to this programme, you know, from Kinmare up to Tarbert, are worried about bread and butter issues. They're not worried about, you know, whether the opposition can land a punch on the government and create an election. And by the way, you know, credit has to go to Denny Healy-Ray as well. He voted with the government in relation to this because he knows, and he said it out straight as well, that the measures that were there at the moment were driving people, property owners, out of the market, making a bad situation worse. It's a pity, though, some of his colleagues wouldn't have agreed with him in that because, you know, the temptation just to be populist, of course, won the day.
Okay. All right. Listen, we're out of time. Minister for State, Patrick O'Donovan, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks,
good luck in Carrigaline with that announcement.